Welcome back to Heroin, Butt Sex, and Lord of the Rings. We are here again today with me, Richie Molino, and Sean Keane.
Hey, how's it going?
And today we are joined by Mr. Chris Garcia. How are you, Chris?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Pretty excellent. Chris is a fantastic comedian with a lot of a million things going on that you can hear about on his Twitter at underscore Chris Garcia. He's got a Comedy Central Presents Half Hour out right now. We'll have a link in the notes to watch that. Highly recommend it. And let's jump into the songs. What do you guys think?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay. First off, today we are dealing with I'm All Right, parentheses, theme from Caddyshack, written by Kenny Loggins, 1980. Here are the lyrics to I'm All Right by Kenny Loggins. I'm all right. Nobody worry about me. Why you gotta give me a fight? Can't you just let it be? I'm all right. Don't nobody worry about me. You gotta give me a fight. Why don't you just let me be? Do what you like. Do it naturally. But if it's too easy, they're gonna disagree. It's your life, and isn't it a mystery? If it's nobody's business, it's everybody's game. Gotta catch you later. No, no. Cannonball it right away. Some Cinderella kid. Get it up, get you a job. Dip, 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 dip. Who do you want? Who you want to be today? And who is it really making up your mind? You want to listen to the man? Pay attention to the magistrate? And while I got you in the mood, listen to your own heart beating, own heart beating. Don't it get you moving? Man, it make me feel good. Then give it up and give it the job. I'm all right. Nobody worry about me. Et cetera, et cetera. I'll try to present like a quick overview of what this song seems to be about. It's a bit of a song like based around rebellion and sort of like, hey man, do whatever you feel. Like everybody's okay. You're okay. I'm okay. And it seems to speak about every character in the story, or at least every character that has like a protagonist type role. Sometimes it seems like he's speaking from Carl, the groundskeeper's point of view. It's hard to exactly nail down. He's sort of, I don't know, maybe casting a broad approval over whatever paths those characters want to take. That's just like a standard interpretation as close as I can get. I think a lot of times like songs like this, especially a song with as provocative a title as I'm All Right, is going to fall into one of two categories. Either I'm really not all right, and that's like the sort of conceit of the song. The person telling you they're all right, but they're not. Like, I'm not in love by 10cc. He says I'm not in love. He's clearly in love the whole time. And he's the lady death protests too much. And then there's other songs that are just saying like, yeah, be free, man. Do whatever you want. This song seems to sort of come down in the middle. That's interesting. None of that has much to do with the actual themes of the song that we're here to tackle today, which is going to come down to either heroin, butt sex, or Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. Any of you guys want to jump in with a hot take right off the bat?
Sure. Well, I'm a big Kenny Loggins fan, and this is just part of a hot streak. I mean, the guy was just a real pop smith, even from his time in the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Mm-hmm. And then with, can I cuss on here?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. Please.
That jerk Jim Messina or whatever. He's a jerk. I'm just happy that he left him, you know. He was dragging him down. But once he went solo, even his early stuff with Two Doors Down and what's it called? Man, Man, Japan. Like his real early high school stuff. Very...
Are these facts or are you coming?
Factual.
Wow. Man, Man, Japan and Two Doors
Down? Two Doors Down.
Three Doors Down.
No, Three Doors Down... It started as a early Kenny Loggins cover band, and then they put a twist on it in Three Doors Down. But their music is not good. Two Doors Down is great. They're hard to find, I found. I saw Two Doors Down cover band once, and they were very good.
Very good.
That's where I learned about them, in Santa Cruz, California. But okay. I will say this song, lovely.
Great song.
Great song. Clearly about butt sex. Specifically, this song is about fisting.
And it's, oh.
Yeah, it's pretty clear that it's about fisting. I mean, let's just look at the lyrics here. I'm all right. he's telling us his hand of preference. He's right-handed.
Oh, okay.
So he only fists with his right hand.
He's like George. Yeah. He's like, he can't go left.
Yeah, he doesn't use his left hand. He's not ambidextrous. He's all right, you know? And people are like, hey, why don't you switch? Hey, you're right-handed. You write with that hand. You shake hands with that hand. Use a fork with that hand. Are you sure you want to use your right hand? And he goes, I'm all right. Don't gotta worry about me. This is just how I fist. Part of the movie is that there's a gopher infestation. There's a single gopher. And, you know, that's like a fit. You know, if I was from New Zealand, I'd probably call it an infestation, you know? And it's like this fist, an infestation of fist.
Wow.
And a gopher is technically, everybody knows a gopher is a butt rodent.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's,
yeah, you could ask Richard Gere.
Are you, yeah.
Did he have a gopher in his butt?
This is, that's.
You know, I don't know if that's urban legend.
It's completely an urban legend.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
That's how it happened on doesn't the set mean of it Officer and a Gentleman.
Right, but just because something didn't happen, if the culture grabs a hold of it, it doesn't make it unreal.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
I like to point out specifically, if you wouldn't mind playing a part of the song. But,
yeah, absolutely.
We've covered the beginning. He's saying that he fists only with his right hand.
Mm-hmm.
He says it a bunch. People are probably nagging him all the time, and he's like, well,
go left, bro.
No, I'm all right. This is the way I do it.
Okay.
But at around the 22nd part. Do that? Who's that sound like to you? If you wouldn't mind pausing it. Sounds very much like Lindsey Buckingham.
I thought this was Lindsey Buckingham at the beginning.
Yeah, and he is the biggest butthole of all time. Everyone knows that. He is a huge butthole. And this is, I have not looked into this, but I'm pretty sure Buckingham is an Ellis Island name. Originally, his last name is Butt in Hand.
Butt in Hand.
Which also...
Butter Hands.
Butter Hands.
Well,
She's great butter.
You know what the song
Butter
really,
Hands are too big for fisting.
Yeah. You know, this song reminds me a lot of Holiday Road, which is also about butt sex, because Lindsey Buckingham, famous butt sex enthusiast, but only on special occasions, like his birthday, New Year's Eve, Christmas, Easter. That's why it was, the butthole is the Holiday Road.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like it's anniversary, birthday stuff.
Uh-huh. And that's why that song has so much like, oh, it's like very,
And you can kind of hear it. You can kind of hear it in the song. Whenever he says like, his voice just jumps way up right at the end of every phrase, like as if something, there's some sort of sudden shock or pleasure that he's experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
Right here.
You know, oh yeah, sort of, give me a fight like that, and also
it reaches up. Quickly.
What do you use to fight? Your fists.
Your shit encrusted fist.
He doesn't want to fight with his fist because his fist has a more important job.
Yeah, and that's for fisting.
Yeah,
right. Do you
think the part about you got to give me a sign, is that a safe word?
That is a safe word.
Okay.
No,
okay.
Guys, it's not. It says why you got to give me a fight.
Why you gotta give me? Yeah, because I prefer to use these fists for fisting. Why you gotta fight
gotcha.
Me? You know, unless I learn some sort of.
This is where the song really, really takes off.
I mean, I want to say that there's nothing wrong with fisting, and you know,
of course, we're just talking about what it's about.
Yeah.
This is the bridge.
I think so. What's coming up? Okay, here we go. It's very euphoric in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
There's the overlaying harmonies, three-part harmony, all this stuff. And everybody knows, I mean, it's to me, this indicates that once you get to full insertion, I don't know if you've ever fisted before, but when you get in there, you feel the heartbeat. That's when you know you're really fisting, is that you are completely inserted and you could listen to the heart. You could feel the heartbeat. On your face.
It's a good way to just fall asleep that way, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, it's you know, closer than spooning.
Oh, yeah. Just leave it in there?
Just leave it in there.
Yeah, you got to take it out eventually, but over it's good for 8 to 10 hours easily, I think.
And
consult your doctor.
Is it true that he actually recorded those backing vocals in his bedroom during a lovemaking session?
You know, I don't know specifically, but he could have just mic'd his bedroom. Brian Wilson put sand in his studio to replicate the beach when he's, you know, recording.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
He could have, you know, put a microphone in his butt. Yeah. Or he could have put it in the bedroom when he was fisting or being fisted. Mm-hmm. I think he's the fister. But I mean, this comes from a long, this is just a, I don't even know.
Them Loggins boys.
Chronology. There's just so many, there's just so many songs that, this is specifically his fisted song, but most of his songs are about butt sex.
Most of Kenny Loggins' songs?
Yeah. You got Danger
Highway
Zone.
Highway to the Danger Zone. Yeah. That's
from Top Gun, the most homoerotic movie of all time. Well, he got, you know, Footloose.
Oh.
That's you fist with your foot feet.
Insertion. That's crazy. Foot insertion. Well, that's why they banned dancing in that town, actually. There's in the deleted scenes and the director's cut, that's why people aren't allowed to dance, because of the foot fisting that had been going on. And that priest was
we
like,
can make a whole episode
you can't
of that
do
one.
Anything with your feet.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like we got
Fist Way.
Yeah,
that movie.
Footloose is like, that's too loose.
Yeah.
You know what
take
I mean?
Take off your Sunday shoes. You better take your church shoes off if you're going to put your feet in someone's butt.
Yeah.
Maybe we could do that one next time, although it seems like a pretty obvious butt sex song.
Heart to Heart, Meet Me Halfway, Return to Pooh Corner. I mean,
wow. Oh.
He did that with Messina.
That's true.
Which is why it's not as, you know, elegant. He says it right there, Return to Pooh Corner.
Uh-huh. Yeah, which was originally about, he actually got sued or blocked by Winnie the Pooh's estate, but then through some kind of nepotism, it was like, what a surprise. He started dating Winnie the Pooh's estate's executor's daughter or something. I forgot what the exact details, but how he got that song through.
So when he says cannonball it right away, that's what he calls fisting, is cannonballing.
Yeah. Cannonballing is, if your hand was doing a cannonball, what would you do? Make a fist. Mm-hmm. Right? And then, of course, there's the dip, 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 dip. That's just the baby steps on the way to jumping full into the deep end with the cannonball fist. I mean, you're just dipping it in a little bit.
Yeah, just the tip in it.
Yeah, just the tip in it. So I don't know. It's pretty all. It's all there.
So what is it when you said? But when he says, Don't worry about me, got it, but why you got to give me a fight? Why don't you just let it be? Is he talking to other people? Is this purely the left versus right thing that he's talking about at that point?
Yeah.
They're like, saying like,
yeah, it's like, okay, it's very nice of you to be cool with me fisting. I'm glad I've shared this with you. But and there's no judgment there, but why you got to tell me which hand to use? You know, when are we in a Catholic school? You know, in Catholic schools, you just have left-handed kids, they used to tie their hand behind their back and make them write with their right hand. It's that same type of situation, basically, but they're just asking him to maybe consider fisting with his left hand because of everything he does with his right. You know, he combs his hair with his right hand. You can get pink eye and stuff like that.
Yeah, you get conjunctivitis, pink eye.
Yeah. That's
that
what
way. Sean, where are you at with this one?
So I went through like the process of elimination with this, and I don't think it's about heroin because written for the movie Caddyshack. Caddyshack is very, very much a weed movie. Like openly in the movie, they're smoking weed. But also, it stars Rodney Dangerfield and Chevy Chase, so it's implicitly a cocaine movie.
In terms of like if there was a pet drug of the movie,
yeah. But heroin and golf don't work together enough because like golf is too boring. You'd fall asleep. You would fall asleep. Like it's not. There's no real heroin golfers. There's like stoner golfers. There's drunk golfers. There's cokehead golfers. But
yep,
you know, Tiger Woods is the closest as like an opiate addict golfer, and he fell apart because of it. So I think we can eliminate heroin. I like the butt sex angle. The idea of the safe word really got to me.
But separating this, saying it's not about heroin, like I would just for the record say that assumes a link between the movie and the song that is fine if you're looking for extra evidence. But I don't think I think the song is the song to a certain extent. If all the copies of Caddyshack were destroyed and someone listened to this song,
yeah.
it happens all the time. Like it gets decontextualized over time.
Uh-huh.
So I also agree that it's not about harem. But
yeah. Because I think it is about Lord of the Rings, and it's specifically about the character Tom Bombadil.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people aren't that familiar with Tom Bombadil, did not make it into the feature films. He is an earth spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He's like an eternal source. And
let me
tell you what Wikipedia says about him, because that's probably the most authoritative way to talk about this.
Okay.
He speaks in a rhyming, whimsical way. Hey doll, merry doll, ring-a-dong, dillo, ring-a-dong, hop-along, fall-the-willow. He has a jolly, carefree attitude. Little seems to concern him. He's all right, you know. He sometimes refers to himself in the third person, simultaneously weaving his epic narrative even as he lives it. People have tried to pin down Tom Bombadil. They're like, Tolkien, who is this guy? Like, is he a spirit? Like, where does he come from? And Tolkien said that some things should remain mysterious in any narrative. I think that matches with It's Your Life. Isn't it a mystery? It's nobody's business. It's everybody's game. In the movie, there's a gopher dancing. Tom Bombadil can make animals and trees dance through the power of his song.
It's like a Coco Pelli situation here with Tom Bombadil, or
he's a
trickster.
He's not really like a trickster as much as he's like a super hippie.
Oh, okay,
so he like lives there. He's not concerned about anything. He just kind of like grows weed. He's got like his girlfriend is his wife or girlfriend, or you know. They're probably Polly. It's pretty implied that it's Polly.
Yeah.
She's Old Man River's daughter, and her name's Goldberry. I think that's what the Cinderella Kid part is about.
Yeah, because that's a tough part.
I thought Cinderella Kid referred to, you know, finding the right
The slipper
and putting your fist in.
They talk about how Tom Bombadil is the master of wood, water, and hill. And that's a fucking golf course.
It is.
You know what I mean? Like, that's all... You know, you're using your woods. But the thing that like clinched it to me is that some people don't know this. In the Fellowship of the Ring, they have a song that Tom Bombadil sings matches up perfectly with I'm All Right. If you indulge me a little bit here.
Sure. Do you want the backing track? Or?
I mean, I could either way. But you know, I think I can just do that. Okay. Hey doll, merry doll, ring a dong dillo, ring a dong hop along, follow the willow. Tom bomb jolly Tom bomb the dillo. And then it gets to the verse part and it's like, hey come merry doll, dairy doll my darling. Like goes the weather wind and the feathers darling. Down along under hill, shining in the starlight, waiting on the doorstep for the cold starlight. So I mean, obviously, Kenny Loggins is using the song of Tom Bombadil as, you know, just the rubric for his lyrics for this song.
Right.
And you know, it's like it's about the exuberance. Tom Bombadil is famously unconcerned. They talk about how they couldn't give him the ring because he'd just forget. He'd lose it. He's like the most chill man. He's like essentially the Kenny Loggins of Middle Earth, I would say.
Right.
Like collaborates with people, but like he's his own man. He's a hit maker.
Yeah, and he's kind of important in a weird way, especially like with Gandalf's mindset, because that's who Gandalf spends all of the time after the War of the Ring, hanging out with Tom Bombadil until he departs for the Grey Haven.
Yeah,
that's the guy.
Yeah, he's like the manifestation of the Earth, but also a lot of his songs, he can feel the heartbeat of Old Man Willow when he attacks the hobbits, and a lot of his songs have. Stuff like the dip, 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 and he's all about making himself feel good, too. So it's just, he's basically like, I would say he's the most purely sensual character in the Tolkien universe, who's just like Goldberry. He's like always in a pool, eating and fucking. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's like the Kenny Loggins experience too. He's like, he's in the sun.
Well, those are both great. I also came down on the butt sex angle. I wasn't thinking fisting in particular. But I do like, I think your revelation about I'm All Right is pretty choice there, Chris.
I mean, you kind of have to be in the mood for fisting. I mean, I am not, you know, Jay every day when it comes to fisting. Mm-hmm. You just gotta, that's why you gotta be in the mood. It's not, for some people, it may be an everyday thing.
Some people are just talented, yes.
Yeah, some people just have that. You know,
right.
That,
but that, I would, yeah, that I guess.
Thirst to quench.
For any, almost anyone who's messing around with butt stuff, it's not an every day, or at least it's not every hour of every day. It's a thing that it's a, even if it's on a special occasion in terms of like you do it on a special occasion, it's a special occasion in that it's only really available to you in a penetrative sense a couple of times a day when you're empty.
For sure.
Yeah. Fascinating. All right. I like all those theories. You guys want to jump around to the next one?
Sure.
All right, let's move on to our second song of the podcast here, which is You Oughta Know from Alanis Morissette, 1995, from her album Jagged Little Pill, written by Alanis Morissette and Glenn Ballard. Alanis had several successful pop albums in Canada in her teens and was, I believe, 20 or 21 when this came out. Really vengeful, a wicked song about a relationship that ended suddenly, and her there's no direct threat in the song, but it's extremely menacing, and whether it's related to Dave Coulier or not, it certainly packs a wallop. But it's also interesting that people thought that Alanis Morissette was going to come out and be this sort of heavy rocker Joan Jett type personality, whereas this song is actually a little bit further outside of her wheelhouse than people realized. And her subsequent, much more mellow, introspective, wordy songs, although there were tons of hits in there, I think that people were always expecting that she would come back with a vengeance in this sort of, you know, harder rock style, which she essentially never did. Nevertheless, she has won tons of awards, has been a recurrent pop figure, and with this song and with a ton of other songs. She's also got a Jagged Little Pill Broadway musical coming out later this year. Here are the lyrics to You Oughta Know from Alanis Morissette. I want you to know that I'm happy for you. I wish nothing but the best for you both. An older version of me, is she perverted like me? Would she go down on you in a theater? Does she speak eloquently, and would she have your baby? I'm sure she'd make a really excellent mother. Because the love that you gave, that we made, wasn't able to make it enough for you to be open wide. No. And every time you speak her name, does she know how you told me you'd hold me until you died? Till you died, but you're still alive. And I'm here to remind you of the mess you left when you went away. It's not fair to deny me of the cross I bear that you gave to me. You ought to know. You seem very well. Things look peaceful. I'm not quite as well. I thought you should know. Did you forget about me, Mr. Duplicity? I hate to bug you in the middle of dinner. It was a slap in the face how quickly I was replaced. And are you thinking of me when you fuck her? Because the love that you gave, that we made, wasn't able to make it enough for you to be open wide. No. And every time you speak her name, does she know how you told me you'd hold me until you died? Till you died, but you're still alive. Because the joke that you laid in the bed, that was me. And I'm not going to fade as soon as you close your eyes, and you know it. And every time I scratch my nails down someone else's back, I hope you feel it. Well, can you feel it? And I'm here to remind you of the mess you left when you went away. It's not fair to deny me of the cross I bear that you gave to me. You ought to know. Any hot takes on this? Any theories that you guys want to throw out?
Yeah, I have maybe a controversial theory about this. First of all, I want to like clear up. Sometimes when you hear this, people will say like, "Oh, I think it's butt sex, because she is, you know, she was a Canadian pop star, famously a teen actress on You Can't Do That on Television, famously dated a Canadian comic, the guy who played Barf on You Can't Do That on Television,
really?
I believe. I think right?
Barf.
The thing is, the line that a lot of people is like the most sexual is, you know, you would she go down on you in a theater?
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think you can reasonably expect someone to eat ass in a movie theater. Like, a blowjob is one thing, but like, full on analingus, like, no usher is going to ignore that. So I think
in America,
in Canada, anything goes. So I think this song is about heroin. I do, because
okay.
It's somebody angrily going through withdrawal. And there were a lot of clues in the song about, like, you know, scratching your nails down someone's back. That's what someone does in withdrawal. Like, you're very itchy,
right?
Scratching things.
I see what you're saying. So are you saying that this person she's speaking to started her on heroin and then got clean himself and left the situation, leaving her behind as this addict that was sort of tossed aside?
I think it's more addressed to heroin itself, to be honest. You know, in rehab a lot, they'll talk about how when you sever your relationship with a drug, it's like a breakup. Like, you have to, you know, go cold turkey in the same way you wouldn't have contact. Street slang for heroin is often boy. But the thing that really clinched it for me, do you know who the backing musicians are on this song?
No.
Dave Navarro and Flea.
Oh, really?
And that, I was like, pretty sure this is about heroin. Yeah, that was the thing that, like, put it over the top.
How does she know those guys?
So, you know, when she says go down on you in a theater, I don't think that can be butt sex. You know, when you're shooting up, you depress a syringe. And, you know, if you're in a place where people are doing heroin, that's a shooting gallery. That's very much like a theater. But here's the more controversial thing. I'm going to say that the entire album, Jagged Little Pill, a very prescient statement about the impending opioid crisis. Like, Jagged Little Pill, that's Vicodin, is what she's talking about right there. You know what is truly ironic? That medicine designed to be a painkiller actually has caused so much pain to our society. You know who needed 10,000 spoons? 10,000 junkies. Yeah.
What's 10,000 spoons?
That's in ironic. When there's 10,000 spoons and all you need is a knife.
Oh.
She's doing
Knife hits.
Why did she have one hand in her pocket? Because she was concealing a stolen bottle of Narco that she lifted from a pharmacy. It's crazy. The whole album is like that. Like, head over feet, you won me over in spite of me. It's like, yeah, you did heroin one time because you got hooked on pain meds because you broke your collarbone. You know.
All right, Sean, this sounds pretty interesting, but what do you do with, I'm happy for you, I wish nothing but the best for you both? What's the both? Who's the other person?
I'm sorry to jump in here. Yeah. It's both is, she says in the next line, an older version of me.
Yeah.
It's heroin and
the
who she used
Alanis.
To be when she was a junkie.
Yeah, just strung out. You know what happened? My theory, this is not confirmed by anything. I think she was hit by a bucket of slime, and that's when her addiction to painkillers happened. Yeah.
I can see it, because she's also living in a locker all those years, too, in a school locker.
Well, and you ought to know is very, very close to I don't know, which is what you would say on You Can't Do That on Television, and that's when you would get slimed.
What's the locker thing? Is that from You Can't Do That on Television?
You can't do that on television.
You know, they would stand in these lockers, and then they'd call out they'd do this bit where they'd call each other's names, and they'd pop out of the locker. And so it's kind of like hee-haw style, and they go, "Hey, Alanis," and she'd go, "Yes, Alistair," and she'd pop out of the locker. Mm-hmm. But I mean, she was spending probably 20, 24 hours a day in there.
Yeah, it's Canada. They don't have, like, child labor laws.
Well, it's easier to get cheap pharmaceuticals, which actually makes the opioid crisis more dangerous. Yeah.
All right. I'm hearing that. Let me just jump in before we kind of, like, bat it around here. I'll try to make this quick. Like I said, I think maybe I was cheating a little in describing this as being like a atypical Alanis Morissette song, which I still hold. You know, I would definitely say this is the most, this is the weirdest Alanis Morissette song that Alanis Morissette ever made. Most of the rest of her songs are much more peaceful.
Wait, have you heard her cover of Jungle Boogie?
No, I have not.
That's pretty weird. It's pretty, but continue.
It's pretty out there. And I think she was sort of channeling here. I think she's such a huge Lord of the Rings fan that she was like, I need to find, like, I need to break through to the American market. I need to find a place of anger. And so I think what she did as a Lord of the Rings fan was find like a really interesting spot to dwell in. She is speaking from Sauron's perspective, talking to Melkor. Melkor perverted Sauron. He was initially a very powerful and positive Maiar, corrupted by Melkor. And then it wasn't anybody's, necessarily anyone's fault that Melkor was captured. But at that point, Sauron is left back defending the castle while Melkor has taken up with this giant spider as his main ally. Meanwhile, Sauron is back home being like, oh, great. Like, have fun on your adventure, which is being very successful. I mean, they take down both of the trees. Mm-hmm. And so if you go through this song from that perspective, it is just full of these just grinding digs on both Melkor and Ungoliath.
Obviously, listeners of the podcast know this, but the Sauron before Sauron, you know, the ancient enemy of the earlier age, Sauron being the primary antagonist of, you know, the second and third age of elves.
Right. We're back in deep prehistory here.
Yeah.
I guess is coming out of the first captivity of Melkor, or maybe it's the second.
I think that's right, yeah. An Ungoliath, giant spider.
Giant spider.
Shelob on a million steroids.
Right, well, yeah. Ungoliath is the mother of Shelob. Yeah. And that's sort of where my search started, because I was like, who's the she? Who's the woman that the speaker is speaking about in the song? And there are very few really powerful female villains in Tolkien's universe. The biggest, scariest one is Ungoliath, who ended up scaring the shit out of Melkor. But so let's go through this real quick. I'm happy for the both of you. Totally disingenuous. An older version of me, accurate. One of the few things that's probably more ancient than the Maiar. Ungoliath is one of the very few entities in Middle Earth that came from outside of Iluvatar's song. Came from the outer worlds or the void. Is she perverted like me? Obviously Melkor perverted Sauron, so that's would you go down? Would you go
so
down?
It's not like perverted as a character trait. It's like has she been perverted like me?
Is she really evil like me?
Yeah, yeah.
And then does she speak eloquently? No, she doesn't speak at all. She's a giant spider, you fucktard. You know, it's like not. And would she have your baby? Like, are you fucking a spider now? Oh, yeah. I'm sure she'd make a really excellent mother, which she does. She's a mother to all the big, dangerous spiders of Middle Earth. Mm-hmm. And then does she know that you told me you hold me until you died, but you're still alive? Sauron has given up everything to follow Melkor. And now to have Melkor have another primary ally who's apparent, supposedly more powerful than Sauron is a fucking joke to Sauron. Mm-hmm. And he's pissed. So this is what Alanis is channeling here. And I think it's obviously incredibly effective. It really drives her. You can just feel the anger behind all of the song. But did you forget about me, Mr. Duplicity? That's a compliment right there. He's like, she's not saying like, you asshole. You're saying like, you genius, mm-hmm. you genius liar. I love you. Come back. It's a slap in the face how quickly I was replaced as your main ally. And are you thinking of me when you fuck her? Which is just this flat insult, being like, I bet you're fucking that spider, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You sick bastard. So I, you know, that's my basic take. I think it really matches up. It's the, as far as I can tell, the one place inside of Lord of the Rings where you can situate this song effectively. And I think for me, that's where I'm going to be coming from on this song. I think probably till the day I die. You know?
Yeah. Well,
I agree that it is. I think it's about Lord of the Rings, but for completely different reasons.
Okay.
I think this is a song about a woman who was dumped by a guy who loved Lord of the Rings too much.
Oh, okay.
So he left her because she wasn't, you know, she really isn't Lord of the Rings. And now she's with another, you know, she's with a Lord of the Rings lady. You know,
okay.
You know, I'm talking like a Renaissance fair type lady.
Gotcha.
I want you to know that I'm happy for you. I wish nothing but the best, blah, blah, blah. An older version of me. She's old. She's an old lady. She's like probably like imagine Kathy Bates, but with like
A Bout Schmidt era.
Yeah.
Like, right. Naked in a hot tub. Yeah, yeah.
And she's 20 owns, or 21 at this point. Dave Coulier is 36 this year.
This is a woman with a lot of candles.
Yeah, a lot of purple things. She owns a lot of things that are purple. Would she go down on you in a theater? Alanis here is talking about watching Lord of the Rings. Of course, not the ones that came out afterwards, but the earlier.
Ralph Bakshi's Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, and she was so bored she sucked his dick in the movie. Yeah, just to have something to do.
Also, not that popular in its theatrical release. You probably had a lot of privacy for that.
No one was in that theater, so she was like, all right, I have to do something. I'll suck this probably way crazy hairy grizzly dick right now. He's a Lord of the Rings guy. I'm sure. Oh, and this is so mean. And would she have your baby? I'm sure she'd make a really excellent mother. She's too old to have a kid. So that's like that's such a
zing.
Dick. And then because the love that you gain that you make that is hearkening back to Led Zeppelin. That's like a very Led Zeppelin phrase, and that portion of the song, I mean, is so Zeppelin-esque, and that's obvious. I mean, that's the Lord of the
Poet
Rings.
Poet laureates. Jimmy Page and Robert Plant, the Poet laureates of
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's just a, you know, she's calling to that. She's evoking that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, did you forget about me, Mr. Duplicity? That is it Bjorn?
The skin-changing bear?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's a bear. He's a man. He's a bear. Also, this guy, as you were saying, probably pretty hairy.
Yeah. And also, you know, what's the line? The cross-eyed bear that you gave to me. Gave her a little, like, he bought a bear off eBay. That was a Bjorn. And
so you're saying
it
that
was like a, made in China. And his like eyes were a little crossed. And so it was a cross-eyed Bjorn.
Right, so this is a misreported lyric that you're saying and said, it's not fair to deny me the cross-eyed bear that you gave to me.
Yeah, he took it back. He gave it to her for Christmas or her birthday or anniversary, and then he left with it. It's not fair to deny me the cross-eyed bear, Bjorn, because, you know.
Yeah, it seems like he like left in the middle of the night. All of a sudden, he's got this new old lady girlfriend, and the bear is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bear's gone.
She collects knockoff Beanie Babies because she doesn't want to give in.
Yeah, she's young.
She's not corporate, but yeah. And they're all lined up in the back.
Well, that's an investment.
Her Volvo.
Yeah, they're all lined up
on the window.
In the back.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you ought to know. Those movies were released in the aughts. Or when they hit the theaters in the aughts.
So this is another one where she's kind of predictive.
Yeah. And isn't it ironic that the guy that was she thought was going to give her a ring left her because she didn't like Lord of the Rings.
Right. He just cut it out and just left town.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's... I think that's... We're coming at it from different angles, but I think we're...
Yeah.
I think we're right here.
Well, I think they could both be there, because then after that you could get... You could just be like, all right, fuck you. I'm going to pick up the Silmarillion. I'm going to learn all this shit, and I'm going to get a number one hit. And you are not going to get to be part of my new life, you know, as like, you know, a huge pop star that is writing great songs about Lord of the Rings. Your favorite topic. I don't know where you are. Don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I think either interpretation we can be pretty clear that Alanis Morissette has some degree. She's either a really good futurist or is somewhat psychic, because she's either predicting the opioid crisis, the success of the Lord of the Rings movies, and, you know, ironic, basically predicts 9/11 when she's talking about how the plane went down. He's like, isn't this nice? Like, that is a guy on United 93 waiting his whole damn life, and then, you know,
right. It wouldn't be until
the plane down. Yeah.
Right. It wouldn't be until Neil Young's Let's Roll that it was revisited in pop music. Fascinating. So these are all pretty strong. Like, let's just crack into this, because unlike Richard Gere and the Gerbil, which is, as far as I can tell, pure invention, even though it was a real cultural phenomenon. As far as I can tell, she was in a relationship with Dave Coulier at this point, or had just ended a relationship with Dave Coulier at this point.
I don't know that she's like confirmed that this song is about him, though.
That's unconfirmed,
he's just like a famous person she dated.
That's true. Okay.
So, I mean, again, I've heard the barf rumors, so...
it could be. I don't know this barf character. I believe
she was also engaged to Ryan Reynolds after, but she likes a vulnerable Canadian man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. This is all apocryphal, really hard to connect to the song, because like you said, Sean, just because they were dating doesn't mean that this song is about Dave Coulier. Obviously it's not. I think it's about Lord of the Rings. I like your heroine perspective on it, but I think
Jagged Little Pill just makes it seem so obvious to me that we're talking about, you know, a painkiller, opioid kind of situation.
Right, but that involves her being psychic. You know what I'm saying? Like,
there were still problems.
Klonopins. There were still.
It could also be like methadone or something.
You know? Yeah, I mean, people were definitely dying from opioid derived things in the mid 90s. This is like a year after Kurt Cobain died.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah, so it doesn't have to be. She doesn't have to be psychic, because I just don't want to leave the realm of reasonability here.
No, it's more that she's like an early adopter than a pure psychic for this one. I mean, the 9/11 stuff in ironic. I don't know what information she was privy to, but this, I think, like, you know, it's worse in rural areas. Canada's almost purely a rural area of a country. So,
Sean, are you convinced by Chris and my interpretation of the Lord of the Rings interpretation? Or are you're hanging tough with heroin?
I still feel like there's so much heroin stuff in the whole album. That's the main thing that convinces me, is like the body of work around it and the presence of the Chili Peppers.
Yeah, the Chili Peppers thing, it just...
Like, I don't know. I mean, Dave Navarro is in his own way the Lord of the Rings, just because he wears so many rings and he has like nipple rings.
I've seen him. Yeah, he does.
Yeah. But I don't think he's familiar with Tolkien at the same time.
Yeah, I don't think he's really reading too many books.
Yeah, he's not really liking nouns and stuff, you know.
Although Johnny Depp might be the new Lord of the Rings. I'm not sure. But I think Navarro might have him beat just because of body piercings.
Yeah, because he doesn't have to. It doesn't matter what he looks like, as long as he shreds. Johnny Depp, they got to fill in all these like holes in his face if he starts wearing face
jewelry. He has like filthier rings, I think, but Dave Navarro probably has more.
Yeah, for sure.
And like more of a body of work.
Yeah.
And like literally a body that has had rings poked through most of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, these are some really fascinating interpretations. Thank you very much, Chris Garcia, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that was great.
It's been a revelation. I've had my mind blown several times over. I feel like you put a fist inside of the butthole of my mind, and I'll just sleep like that, like I said, you know.
Well, I'll enjoy the heartbeat.
Again, we'll have links to everything we're talking about here, as well as links to watch and follow Chris's amazing career. And if you have opinions, to bolster or cut down any of these arguments, or if you have arguments of your own, please feel free to call into our phone line listed in the show notes or email us your case, and we will potentially revisit these songs in future podcasts. Thanks again, Sean, as always.
Oh, thanks. It was great. Learned a lot today.
Thanks again, Chris.
Thank you.
Theme music by Wet and Reckless. Have a great Thursday, and we'll see you next time on Heroin, Butt Sex, and Lord of the Rings.